This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The new independent film Superior is set in the summer of 1969 as two lifelong friends set out to circle Lake Superior by bicycle, 1,300 miles. The boys, Derek and Charlie, are facing that leap from boyhood into the adult world, a world that includes the Vietnam War. My next guest is Ed Benda. He's the writer, producer, and director from Beyond the Porch Productions. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me, Cynthia.
This really is a beautifully told coming-of-age story that is rooted in the family stories of what your uncle did back in 71. Talk about what you heard and how that inspired you.
Yeah, so a few years ago, over a Thanksgiving dinner, my Uncle Carl was sharing this story about how in 1971, you know, he was 17 going on 18, and it was the summer before going off to college, and he and his cousin and good friend Dan Dudza Gentila kind of looked at each other one morning and said, well, what do you want to do today? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do today? And so they decided to go on a 1,300-mile bike ride. And I was so fascinated, and I remain fascinated by kind of the time and place where they just woke up and went on such an odyssey. And really, with no planning, just shirts on their back, change in their pocket. And that became the backbone for Superior, which is not only Carl and Dud's story, but it's a lot of different stories I grew up listening to as a kid, kind of woven together as a patchwork quilt.
And you create these two characters, Charlie and Derek. Tell us a little about each of them.
Charlie is very itinerant. He's on his way to Michigan Tech University in the fall and has kind of a clear plan for what he's going to be doing.
Engineering.
With his life. Yes, he's going to be an engineer. And I personally come from a large family of engineers, so I know the merits and the structure that comes with that.
Yeah.
And then Derek is a little bit more happy-go-lucky and as a result doesn't have quite as much of a plan for his future. And our film takes place in 1969, and a very prevalent thing at that time was the Vietnam War and the impending Vietnam War draft. And that was a very real thing for young men at the time. And, you know, I'm a young guy, and I wasn't alive in 1969, but in researching and beginning to understand that time period and talking with, you know, my Uncle Carl as well as other people from that time, that was a confusing reality to live with. And so while we have Charlie, who has a structure and has a plan, we have Derek, who it's certainly a lot more confusing and uncertain where his future is going to take him because he doesn't necessarily have that decision entirely on his own. There is this reality
of
the draft.
The draft, because that began December of that year, so they're right on the cusp of when it became no longer a choice.
Exactly.
But he has decisions to make, and he's extraordinarily underappreciated at home, at least by his father. That comes off very, very clearly and very touching and very sad.
Yeah, and I have to give Mark Wilcox, who plays Derek's father in the film, an incredible amount of credit. And I should note that Paul Stanko and Thatcher Robinson, the two lead actors in the film, incredibly talented young men.
Very.
And I'm fortunate to know them, you know, both personally and as professionals, and I look forward to seeing where their careers take them. And other than those two, everybody else in the film are locals from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where we filmed, and Mark Wilcox being one of them. And in discussing his role and in kind of that disappointed father character, and is Mark gave so much of himself to that character and applied so much of kind of his own personal interpretation of that, that as a director, it was a pure joy to kind of see what I had written and then enjoy watching Mark interpret it his own way and give so much of himself to that character.
Yeah, very, very good. And we should say Paul Stanko plays Derek and Thatcher plays Charlie, both from USC's theater program. You're from USC.
Correct.
Your partner is from USC, your partner in Beyond the Porch Productions.
Right.
But you're from Michigan, so you
Correct.
Had that perspective of being on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So what kind of sense of Michigan did being away from it give you?
I mean, I love the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. My colleagues, actually, we've been on this tour around Michigan with the film for the last month now, and my colleagues kind of gave me flack is that they said I only put this tour together as an excuse to spend fall in Michigan, which I suppose is partially true, as I do love this state. It has such an incredibly rich palette of not only images, you know, filming along the shores of Lake Superior and just driving down a two-lane highway through the, you know, rich, colorful, you know, fall leaves. It's just a beautiful state kind of beyond compare. And to be living in Los Angeles now for 6 years, the concrete jungle and the sprawl that is that city, which, while it certainly has its own appeal and its own kind of magic to it, my love for the state of Michigan is first and foremost. And it was such a privilege to be able to not only make the film here, but to be able to go on tour and show it all over the state.
Let's take a listen now to a clip from your film, Superior. And this is the part where Derek reveals to his friend Charlie the two bikes that he has ready for this journey around Lake Superior.
We've been planning this trip forever, right?
Yes.
Day one, we're in Duluth, checking out Split Rock. Cut across Thunder Bay, swing around to the Sioux, and we're back before we even left, right?
I'm aware of the plan. I made the plan.
You remember in second grade when we were out at the cabin looking out across the lake wondering what's on the other side? This is our chance to find out. There's adventure out there, and it's calling our names. Derek. Charlie. Derek. Charlie. You ready?
Just show me.
Well, I want to make sure you're ready, because I'm about to change our lives here.
Derek?
I'm looking for a little emotional commitment here, Charlie. Huh? I tested them out. They run great. All they needed was a little air in the tires. I checked the gears, oiled them up. We could ride to Timbuktu and back on these bad boys if we wanted to.
Yesterday, my truck broke down. I need $500 to fix it. I have to be a tech in 2 weeks. And you... I just think maybe you should take some time to figure out what you want to do with your life. We're not kids anymore. What is this, a two-speed back pedal?
I got it all planned out. The route's actually a lot shorter, and we can do a lot more on bikes than we could in your truck. Watch.
That was a clip from the film Superior, and I'm speaking with the writer, producer, and director, Ed Benda, who grew up in Oakland County. And again, this story was inspired by real events, and you actually used the same bicycles that your uncle Carl and his cousin used?
That is a very fun piece of trivia. In 1971, my uncle Carl and his cousin, Dudza, took off on these Schwinn co-eds with Bendix two-speed back pedal shifters. So they are these really heavy steel bikes with only two speeds. In researching the film and putting it together, I was talking with my uncle Carl, and I did ask, you know, what kind of bikes were you riding? And he described this very specific kind of Schwinn. And I'm thinking to myself, where on earth am I going to find bikes like that? And my Uncle Carl, being a true youper, says, oh, well, I have it in my garage. And then...
Did you pass out?
My initial reaction was surprise. And then I realized, well, of course he has it in his garage. Like, why would he have it anywhere else? And then Dudza, exactly the same, responded with, well, yeah, you know, I've been meaning to get that fixed up for 30 years. And so the bikes that Carl and Dudza rode in 1971 are the actual bicycles that we used to film last summer. And we've actually had the good fortune that we've been taking them on this tour with us so that we park them outside the theater and people get to really see these big hunks of metal that somehow made that journey.
And I have to give you credit, having lived through that period, you got the wardrobe perfect because the shorts look so short compared to what men wear today. But you had the perfect wardrobe. And something tells me both Paul and Thatcher probably felt weird in these funny short shorts.
They were very, very cozy. I think the worst part that they like to emphasize whenever they get the opportunity is the bugs. We had a black fly hatch up there in the UP right as we were filming, and they truly were afforded very little protection from that.
You know, I got to wonder, Ed, you know, we talk about the decisions and that idea that the Vietnam War is staring these boys right in the face as a possibility, especially for Derek, who appears to be headed for the Army. You think of those decisions that those boys faced in the summer of 69. Do you feel that it was different or more difficult than what 18-year-olds are facing today?
Well, the way I kind of approach the film, and I'll reiterate, you know, I'm 25 years old, and so I tried not to approach it from a looking back. Instead of looking back at that time period and going, this is the way it was.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. I instead kind of approached it from a, this is my life now. How would I approach these situations now? You know, how is my life as a young man now? Mm-hmm. And finding the parallels and finding the relatability with what they were dealing with back then. And you start to understand, and what I certainly started to find out is that, you know, even though, and I'm so thankful that I don't live in a time where there's a draft, mm-hmm. and there's a reality that I have to go to war, and that's a decision that I have the right to make for myself, I still have to make choices, and I still have to live with them, and I still have to deal with both the rewards and consequences of those decisions every day. And when I began to look at it through that lens and began to understand it more as I'm a young man now and I'm making decisions, I saw so many parallels, and I think that gave us such a tremendous opportunity, and certainly Paul and Thatcher brought so much of that on their own to the film. It's exactly that. We're not looking at 1969 from a historic standpoint. We're simply living in that time period and treating it with the honesty that I would like to treat my own kind of contemporaries.
Yeah, it does come off very beautifully. So you're on this Michigan Road Show. You're going to be in Holland, Lansing, Bloomfield, Nagani, and Saginaw between now and November 11th. As you watch audiences on this tour, see this brainchild of yours. You've gone through the writing, you raised the money, you did the casting, you direct all of the work it took. What's it like to see your feature film first time on a screen with audiences watching?
The very first time we showed it was on June 5th at the Dances with Films Festival at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, which is an intimidating venue in and of itself. You know, it's simultaneously the scariest and greatest moment of your life, because you don't know how people are going to react, and you've lived with it, and you're too close to it to really know what you have. And what we found on June 5th, and what we continue to see at all our screenings in Michigan and hopefully continues, is people love the film and people respond to the film and people stick around for the Q&A. You know, fortunately, I've been able to host Q&A sessions after every screening, and to hear them laugh, you know, at moments when I am hoping they'll laugh. And then to hear them laugh at moments where maybe I'm not even expecting it. And then we have intense dramatic moments, which are always harder to gauge in a room because it's not audible. But the fact that people are sitting there and they're paying attention and they're glued to it, and then I get that immediate feedback of people coming up after the screening and talking about how much they love the film. And even more than that, I love when people come up and they tell me their personal stories of what it reminded them of, or they tell me about their adventure. It reminds me why we do this. To tell stories. And it can be such an exhausting process making a film. You know, we film for 21 days, which has an energy, and it's a dance, and it's a ton of fun. But then we are in a dark room in post-production for more than 100 days of physical work. You know, it takes months and months. Those are kind of the dog days of filmmaking, where you're really wondering, what on earth are we doing? Is this story worth telling? So to now be, you know, more than a year later, getting to show this to Michigan audiences and having them respond so positively, it makes you want to do it again. You know, you want to just keep doing it, and we're so fortunate to be on this tour right now and to have the response that we're having.
Well, those who want to find out about these screening dates coming up in throughout Michigan, and also keep up with information about Ed's film Superior, all you have to do is go to superiorthemovie.com, and I'm sure you'll have all the latest going on. Ed Benda, writer, producer, director, it is a marvelous film, Superior. I loved it. Thank you for being with us, and the best of luck.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.